Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, open phones Friday. Give us a call. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, pound 670 on Verizon Wireless. We'll talk about whatever's on your mind. Want to start today's show, though. The Bundy brothers still in jail today after a dramatic acquittal yesterday. How about that? In a courtroom that erupted into chaos after an attorney yelled at a judge for their release, resulting in him being subdued with a stun gun.
Yeah, that'll happen.
And arrested.
That'll happen in court when you start doing unusual things.
Yeah, and, you know, the attorneys aren't supposed to demand stuff from the judge. The jury delivered an extraordinary blow to the government in a long-running battle over the use of public lands when it acquitted all seven defendants involved in the armed occupation of a national wildlife refuge in southeastern Oregon. After the verdicts were read, an attorney for group leader Eamon Bundy demanded that his client immediately be released, repeatedly yelled at the judge. U.S. Marshals tackled attorney Marcus Mumford to the ground, used a stun gun on him several times, and arrested him. U.S. District Judge Anna Brown said she could not release Bundy because he still faces charges in Nevada, stemming from an armed standoff at his father, Cliven Bundy's ranch 2 years ago.
That's what I was about to say. Why exactly are they still in jail if they were acquitted? But, because there are other pending charges.
Yep. The Portland jury acquitted Bundy, his brother Ryan, and five others of the charge conspiring to impede federal workers from their job, because there was really no proof that they tried to impede it. The people just went, I'm not going in there.
Oh, yeah, they didn't.
I'm not going to work. Those people have guns.
Well, they didn't kidnap anybody or anything like that. And, I was kind of hoping that the whole thing would end simply with the judge saying, well, you know, the Constitution gives us a right to protest. That's what you can do.
Yeah. Okay. On to phone calls. Did it surprise you?
The complete acquittal?
Yeah.
I guess a little bit. I really wasn't sure what was going to happen.
Yeah, me neither. All right, let's go to the phones. Trying to go to the phones. Here's Pete Peterson. Pete, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
What's up, Pete?
I'm actually a little disappointed with our top two choices for president this go-round.
You and America.
I find Hillary an evil little witch who I cannot vote for, and Donald Trump is, it's never good to speak ill of others, but seems to be a little bit of a bully.
Didn't seem to bother you with Hillary.
there are exceptions to every rule, of course. I did stumble across a candidate who I'm going to be pleased to vote for. There's no chance of him ever winning. Chaplain Joel Robinson, who's running for the state legislature in District 16.
You're just going to go for the presidential vote, too?
I've already written in the former Montana governor, Governor Brian D. Schweitzer. Nobody's ever heard of him. He's like the C. Sanders of Montana. It's the equivalent of writing in Mickey Mouse, since he's not officially a write-in candidate.
Oh, that's true.
So it didn't count.
I think a lot of people don't realize that. There are people that show up.
You have to be official.
They write their own name or a friend or somebody like that.
In order
to be a write-in candidate, you first have to register as a write-in candidate. So you knew that.
Yes, I did. But hopefully Governor Schweitzer, his brother Darwin actually lives in Caldwell, So maybe he'll hear about this and run 4 years from now.
There you go.
You could be his campaign director.
But anyway, Chaplain Joel, his website is www.electjoelrobinson.com, and he's running as a Republican in a heavily Democratic area, and he's going door to door. He's the one with the homemade signs, and he actually gets the materials out of dumpsters.
Yeah, I think he stole a chair off my porch. That's a joke. That's a joke. Don't sue me. I know you didn't. $17 million. That'll be what he wants.
No, he's not a suing kind of person. Again, his website, www.electjoelrobinson.com, if folks are interested. But when I first met him, he said, "Pete, I'm a chaplain. I've never smoked pot. I've never been drunk. And I've been married to the same woman for 41 years. So naturally, my first thought was, what a weirdo. I got to get away from him. He's going to be a bad influence. Yeah, I can see this already.
We are up against a hard break. Pete, got to move on. KBOI News time, 8:45. Time for a traffic check. Why Toyota? One word, traction. 8 all-wheel and four-wheel drive models, from family vans to full-size trucks. Toyota will get you there no matter what. Why not Toyota? For full details, stop by your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. Let's find out how the traffic's moving with Ron.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
Open phones Friday, 336-3700, 1-800-529-KBOI. That's 1-800-529-5264. #670 on Verizon Wireless. That is a free call. Let's go to Ben of Boise. Ben, good morning. Morning, Ben. Ben?
I think he's...
Ben. Ben.
He's Ben doing something.
Hello?
Hi, Ben.
Hey.
There you are. How are you?
Okay.
You got to listen.
I'm good. How are you?
You got to listen over the phone, not on the radio. Okay.
Hey, I have a quiz question. I don't have the answer.
Okay.
It's regarding Electoral College.
Oh boy.
I've heard a couple things. Maybe you have the answer. We'll just pick on Idaho. Let's say it's the voters go say 70% red, and the Electoral College elects to vote blue. Can they do that?
I believe they can.
Yeah.
So what's the purpose of the people voting then, if the Electoral College can do whatever they want?
You know, you bring up a good point, and there are plenty of people who don't like the Electoral College.
Well, I don't. I think it ought to be popular vote, period, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, okay.
I'm looking this up.
Yeah,
just to make sure
I am too. So hang on the phone here, Ben.
Oh, yeah. It says, here we go. Except for Maine and Nebraska, all states have chosen electors on a winner-take-all basis since the 1880s. That is, each state has all of its electors pledged to the presidential candidate who wins the most votes in that state. For instance, you know, if somebody got 51% here, they get all four of our votes. Maine and Nebraska use the congressional district method, selecting one elector within each congressional district by popular vote and selecting the remaining two electors by a statewide popular vote. Now, although no elector is required by federal law to honor a pledge, there have been very few occasions when an elector voted contrary to a pledge. But yes, you're absolutely right. They can do it if they want.
Which is,
you're right. That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, does it?
No, it doesn't. Because this year, I mean, stranger things can happen because,
yeah,
you know, as the people here, we're learning a lot of things about our government, the media, and everything else, how corrupt everything is becoming.
It could be the case either with Trump or Hillary Clinton, because both of them, you know, raise the ire and strong feelings in people. But it could be a case where some electors that are pledged to one or the other vote for the other one.
Do you? That's an interesting thing to bring up. So some Republicans have come out basically saying that they're against Trump, or at least not for Trump. So
right.
do you see this happening, the electoral votes?
You know, not necessarily.
I guess they're not partisan, are they? Or are they?
I think that they probably shouldn't be. You're right. They should be pledged completely. In fact,
well, let's take it a step further. Let's say that did happen here.
All right.
Okay. It's not going to happen in Idaho.
Or how can whatever get that reversed?
It'd have to be a constitutional amendment, I think. I mean, we can work on it, but it's the way we've been doing it, I think, since roughly John Adams.
Whatever the popular vote is,
yeah,
if the Electoral College elected to go the other way, I think the people would be outraged, and rightly so.
Oh, well, no question.
There have been at least three. So, there have been at least three presidential votes out of the 57 or so that we've had
that have lost
lost the popular vote and still won the presidency. I think John Quincy Adams was one. Yeah, George W. Bush, he was one as well. Yeah.
But see, you can almost understand that by just saying that, he overwhelmingly won
right.
New Jersey. You know, he won New Jersey by a million votes.
Right.
And then, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, and how it works, too, is if you don't get 270 electoral votes, which is the majority,
mm-hmm.
if say, like, Hillary Clinton gets, you know, 269 or whatever, and Donald Trump gets 269, and then, you know, somebody else, one of the other candidates, say Gary Johnson, gets a couple of votes, then the presidential vote goes directly to the House of Representatives, and they are the only ones that get to vote at that point.
Right. Yeah, they in a sense pick the president.
Yeah, and since they're right now majority,
and the Senate I think picks the VP.
Yeah, but they're a majority Republican right now.
Right.
And it would be this Congress that gets to vote, not the one being voted in.
Not the one coming in, right?
Right.
Yeah, amazing. All right, good stuff.
However,
thanks for the call.
Some of those congressmen have not endorsed Donald Trump, so you never know what they would do.
Yeah, that's an interesting question he raises. Idaho will not go blue. No way.
As far as we know.
Come on, Chris. 856.
Oh, not since 64, anyway.
With the Electoral College.
Right.
No. All right, till we are back in our Open Phones Friday. Lines open. Give us a call, 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. That's 1-800-529-KBOI. #670, that's a free call on Verizon Wireless. Or you can send an instant message.
Quick story here. This is just kind of fun. There is a 97-year-old Army vet in Chicago named Jim Schlegel.
Okay.
He survived Pearl Harbor. He was stationed there. And he's also a huge Cubs fan. But even at the age of 97, he has never seen them win a World Series. The last time, of course, was in 1908.
Yeah.
And that was 11 years before he was born. But he was there the last time they played in a World Series. He went to Game 6 and 7 of the 1945 World Series when he was 26 years old. So his granddaughter wanted to see if she could send him to the World Series this year as well. She set up an online fundraising campaign on Sunday to raise $10,000 for two tickets, which, by the way, is an accurate price.
How much?
$10,000 for two tickets.
Yeah.
And then
it's $3,000 and up. Yeah. I guess they say some people drop the prices back down to three. The lowest was $3,500, and apparently everybody's going, gack.
But then Marcus Lemonis heard about it. He is the host of a reality show on CNBC called The Profit that helps struggling businesses. And he was looking to give away a World Series ticket to someone who deserved it.
Here I am. I deserve it.
So Jim scored a ticket to tonight's game, another one for his son, so they can go together. And both tickets are front row seats. Meanwhile, his granddaughter's GoFundMe campaign raised over $12,000. And they're going to donate all of that to a charity called the Purple Heart Foundation that helps veterans. So it all turned out pretty well.
Man.
Except for the fact that you still don't get to go to the World Series.
No, people are crazy, though. I mean, I probably shouldn't be there. I care too much. You know what I mean?
Well,
know what I mean?
It's not a bad thing.
Know what I mean?
Loyalty is a rare commodity.
Well, it's just been so long. Set my people free. All right, let's go to Jim of Boise. Jim, you're on 670 KBOI.
Yes, let's continue to talk baseball, shall we?
Yes, sir.
Paul Jay and Gary of Emmett, pay attention.
All right.
Okay, baseball was not designed to be played the latter part of October.
Got that right.
It was designed to be played the first part of October. Seasons changed quite a bit. I mean, they're called the Boys of Summer. All these damned playoffs that they've instituted, you know, screwed the damn thing up.
Yep. Money, now, money, money, money.
Right. Up until 1962, there were 8 teams. There were 154 games. Right. After that, there are 162 games in the regular season. There still are 162 games. Now, maybe they should knock off maybe 2 weeks of the regular season and end it sooner now, because the poor guys are having to wear overcoats out there.
Did you see Baez the other night?
They've got to worry about snowstorms, you know?
Baez is pretty small, though. I mean, you know.
Well, Baez, he had this hood on, and when he'd move it all, his hat would fall off. His helmet would fall off. It was hilarious. I agree with you. I like the World Series in October, and it's going into November.
I would like to see the regular season. I'd like to see the regular season stay about the same length, just for the sake of consistency over the years.
Well, I'm a traditionalist, but they've added
Well, you got the wild card
but
game.
But yeah, it would be fine with me.
Then you got a 5-game series, then you got a 7-game series.
It would be fine with me if they cut out some of the early playoffs, because I still would prefer to see the teams with the best records
just go
to the World Series like it used to be.
Maybe they could start a week earlier then, in March or something.
I tell you what, though, yeah, March in Chicago?
Well,
nuh-uh. I mean, I'd rather play in November in Chicago.
But, I don't know. If it were up to me, we'd go back to maybe 2 divisions at the most. And there wouldn't be 3 divisions in each, and all this other crap.
Would you eliminate some teams?
Well, there haven't been that many additional teams over the years. Not really.
Well, not lately.
We went from 16 to 30, so it almost doubled.
Well, yeah.
And then they only added 8 games.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, and at that time, it was a more even schedule.
Well, yeah. I mean, they used to play all the teams. Well, number one, they played within their league.
Mm-hmm. What if they knocked off interleague play? How many games would that knock off?
I don't know. But, they played all the teams same number of times.
Yeah, in the 154 games, you played every team in your league 22 times.
Yeah.
And and when you go interleague, you're selective, so that's not fair to everybody. But anyway,
yeah, I agree, and I agree that the season's too long. But I'm conflicted here. I love the playoffs.
Yeah,
I love the playoffs. They just need to be earlier.
So
I
just hope they get them in before the snows hit.
No right, question.
Jim,
okay, thanks. Bye bye.
Right, well,
thanks.
And games, if it goes to 7 games, games 6 and 7 are set in November.
Yeah, and Cleveland.
Which is next week. Anyway.
Cleveland's, Chicago, too, they're both on the Great Lakes.
Mm-hmm.
Man, the wind can come howling off those lakes in November. It can get cold, snow, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Weeping, gnashing of teeth, all that stuff. All right, let's go to Quentin. Quentin, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Since you were talking baseball, it brought back a great memory, which I would like to share. 60 years ago, back in the 50s, baseball was it.
Yep.
Growing up down in Preston, baseball was it. Everybody was either a Yankee or a Dodger. Those great World Series. Well, 1956, the summer of 56, it's in the National Jamboree. Us Boy Scouts, about 30 there from Cache Valley, were flying back from Washington, D.C. to Salt Lake City. When our little uniforms were on the plane, all of a sudden we glanced towards the back and we see someone sitting there. Oh, no, it couldn't be. So we're, nudging each other back and forth. Looks like it is to me. I don't know. We turn around and look at him, and he was watching us. So pretty soon he puts his finger out in the aisle and motions us to come back. So 31 little Boy Scouts line up down that aisle of that plane. Each one of us, as he came up, we shook his hand, and if we had something, he gave us an autograph.
Harmon Killebrew, right?
Pardon?
Harmon Killebrew?
Oh, no, you're going to like this one.
Oh, okay.
So the only thing I had was a business card a congressman from Utah had given us when he visited the scout camp. So I look at him, my turn, I look at him, he smiles at me, he says, hello, I say, hello, I'm shaking like a little kid. He shakes my hand, I hand him the card, and he writes, Jackie Robinson that card.
Outstanding.
And you believe, yes, as a 13-year-old kid, the baseball was it. I was never a Yankee anymore. I switched to the Dodgers.
he would have just that was his last year, 56, so he would have just retired.
Yeah, he just retired 3 months before. You know, they won the series in 55, and then they considered trading him to the Giants. He says, I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly.
So this was a couple of months after he was flying back to Los Angeles, he said. But take the time to shake hands with 31 little boys and give them an autograph with a smile. Can you imagine that happened today? I don't think so.
Oh, that's awesome.
But it's in a shadow box with the three reproduction cards that my son made, and when I pass, it's his.
Fantastic.
A true gentleman. So, you know, I still think about that now, and I still get chills on my arms and at my spine. What a great thing for a little kid who loved baseball.
Oh,
so
that's awesome
my story.
Stuff.
That's fantastic.
Thanks, Gwynn. That's awesome. You know what? That guy's got a great voice. Doesn't he sound like a play-by-play guy from the 50s, 60s?
Like
I love his voice.
Like a Red Barber or somebody like that?
Yeah. Preston, Idaho. KBOI News Time, 9:16. All right. We are back. 51 degrees, 921 KBOI rewards code Cowboys. COWBOYS as in Wyoming Cowboys. Game day coverage begins at noon tomorrow. Go to 670KBOI.com. Enter Cowboys. Earn today's 5,000 rewards points.
Got a couple of instant messages here quickly. Wayne from Cheney says, baseball schedule. Remember back when we were kids, Paul J., Saturdays or Sundays were always
double headers. You bet.
Go back to that, and the schedule gets a couple of weeks shorter. That's a good point.
Yeah,
they used to play
double headers on Sunday.
Saturday. Based on the fact that we all travel in jets now, they could also get rid of travel days and just have it a rule where the first game of a, like say that you have a 3 or 4 game series with something. The first game is at night, the last game's a day game.
Mm-hmm. So you can get out of town.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That would work.
Thank you, Commissioner. That's good stuff. Let's go to Mike of Boise. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Healthcare. Of course, that's on the news this week. But for us people out in the real world, to give you a little example, last year my healthcare was $700 a month.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And believe it or not, I got a $200 subsidy because I made under $50,000 a year. This coming year, unfortunately, I'm going to make a little bit more.
Uh-oh.
But my healthcare jumped to $995 a month.
And no subsidy.
And no subsidy.
So you've basically gone from, what, 400 to 900?
Yeah. Well, from 500.
Yeah, 500 to
995.
Yeah.
Doubled. And, I mean, it's almost worth not working one more day a week, because then I would get a $200 subsidy, which would still cost me $300 more. But the bottom line is and I don't, quote, blame Obamacare. There was some positives in that. There was also some negatives. The bottom line is insurance companies and hospitals are in business to make money.
Yeah.
And we still have that group of people, and I happened to talk to some young people just yesterday at a restaurant. They're in their 30s. None of them had health care. But they don't own a house. They don't own a car, or they got car payments, everything. So when they go into the hospital and the hospital, quote, has to write it off, well, they write it off onto you and me.
Yes, they do.
But that's what's happening out in the real world. Now, I don't know if Obamacare, if it wasn't there, what my rate would be. But the bottom line is the system is not going to work.
No, it's going to implode. It has to.
Yeah, it is. And the Hillary Clintons of the world, you know, their answer is to put more into the subsidy. Well, that doesn't solve the problem.
Because we got to pay for that, too.
But anyway, that's what happened to me in the real world this week. I'm still having a little chest pain over that, which I can't afford to go into the hospital. But That was the jump that I got, and I had to put on my glasses a second time to look at that.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to do mine Monday, and I'll let you know how that came out.
Take care.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Good stuff. There's another good voice, man.
Gary,
these guys today.
Gary of Emmett says, rural Oregon acquitted the Bundys. Although Portland is liberal, rural eastern Oregon is sympathetic to ranchers and their plight with the oppressive BLM. This is populism, and it may carry Donald Trump to the presidency. People generally feel the government overreaches. Big government has gotten too big. The new slogan of the government is, we have what it takes to take what you have. It's catchy, but I don't like it.
Where was this trial? There's no dateline on this story.
Portland, I believe.
That's what I thought, too. And he talked like it was in eastern Oregon somewhere. It says Oregon courtroom is all it says. Doesn't say where it is.
I'll check that out.
Yeah. All right. We need to take a break. We'll be back. Open phones Friday. Give us a call. 336-3700. It's 926. Final Friday of the month of October. World Series Friday, I guess we could call it. Halloween coming up on Monday. It's an open phones Friday. Give us a call. 336-3700. Let's go to Luther in Chalice. Luther, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, it's an amazing thing. I think I told you this story once, but I was on a train riding through Chicago, and the conductor goes, on your left is Wrigley Field. And look real quick, and by golly, there was a place in the fence where you could see the baseball game for a whole 10 seconds for free. And you could sit from way back in the backfield, see, so you could see the whole thing. It was just like that classic painting of the baseball players.
Right. Yeah.
And so it was really kind of neat, and it's the only postcard I have from Chicago. You know, when I was a kid, I used to sit around in friends' Ford Fairlane, and it was the only new car I ever got to sit in and listen to baseball.
Yeah, yep, that's
nothing
right.
Nothing else. None of this other phony stuff. No, baseball. Let's go get them, Broncos.
All right, thanks.
My cousin Eldon told me about that. He's considerably older than I am, but he said that, you know, back when he was a teenager, they'd listen to the baseball games, but they'd be out somewhere in one of their cars, you know, just a bunch of kids. And they'd just have the car radio on listening to play-by-play.
Yeah, I used to do that. I had a portable radio. I'd go to bed at night, listen to the Cardinals and the Cubs and the White Sox, of course, and Milwaukee and Cincinnati. Could hear all of those games.
Yep, and then later, if you'd, you know, well, Kansas City was for a while, right?
Yeah.
You couldn't,
not when I was a kid.
Couldn't pick up Kansas City? Okay.
No, I don't think they had a team when I was a kid.
Well, I think, yeah, you had already moved to Twin Falls, I think, by the time Kansas City got the A's.
Right. Let's go to Rich of Boise. Rich.
Well, you had that guy on there that just called about Obamacare. Now, did you catch that he said he was getting a subsidy because he made under $50,000 a year?
Yes, I caught that.
And then when he went over. So contrary to what you guys were implying earlier this week, the people on, Paul, you said something about paying for subsidies for people that aren't working. Everybody on Obamacare is working. You can't get on it if you're not working.
Okay, but the less money you make, the larger your subsidy.
Yeah, and if we get rid of
Obamacare,
then the 20 million people who are now covered under it, their insurance will go to that $900 a month or whatever that guy said his went to when he went over the limit. You're going to have 20 million people losing their health coverage that they have now. And plus, you're going to get rid of the pre-existing.
Well, there are those people that say they're getting health care they can't afford.
But they're getting health care if they're getting the subsidies. I don't know what you mean by they're getting health care they can't.
Well, that's what some people would say. They can't afford health care, so we have to buy it for them. Yeah, it comes out of our taxes. So, right.
Yeah, there are people that are working, and they're getting subsidies to get health care.
Right.
And if you cancel it, you're going to cancel their health care if you cancel Obamacare. 20 million people are going to lose their health care.
Well, there might be a different alternative. I mean, you would agree, wouldn't you, that health care costs are ridiculously high?
Oh, but they're
now, would you agree with that?
Yeah, that's right. But that's where if you go in, can you imagine what the hysteria is going to be and what the fight back's going to be if you go in and you start limiting what doctors and hospitals can charge? That's where it is. That's the problem. I mean, there's just too much. I mean, the medical, you go into a doctor, I mean, it's really nice to have six different people come in and check on you. Then they go stand around for the next person. And nobody cares what the people who have good insurance don't care what the costs are. Oh yeah, you're right. The medical costs.
It's ridiculously high.
I mean, every year, far higher than inflation, and they've been doing this about the past 20 years. But getting control of that, how do you tell private enterprise what you can charge? That's where our problem is.
Yeah, because healthcare is not like buying a new car. You need healthcare. You don't always need a new car.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where they got it. Other countries seem to have it under control better than we do.
You're talking socialized medicine healthcare costs?
The socialized medicine, they spend, like Sweden, those countries, they spend less per person on healthcare. And I hope somebody doesn't call in and say, oh, it's subsidized. The cost of it's the cost of it. Doesn't matter who's paying it. The cost of healthcare in Sweden is less than us, and their healthcare system is better. We spend more than anybody does in the world on healthcare, and we don't have the best system in the world. I mean, yeah, there's
just, how much does insurance have to do with that?
Well, insurance has quite a bit to do with it. There's one thing under Obamacare they did. Insurance companies have to return 80% of what they charge back to the patient. So they only get to keep 20 cents maximum of every dollar for their overhead.
It's actually good.
That's profit, and
that's pretty good, 20 cents.
But that's all their expenses, run buildings, pay everybody. Everything has to come out of that. But, even if we eliminated insurance companies, but we still have to have somebody run the system anyway. I don't know how much we'd save, But the key to Obamacare is what that guy also had the solution to it. He said he was talking to those young people that still haven't signed up, and that's what Hillary wants to do. They want to increase those fines or make those young people be part of the system. I mean, make them part of the system. And if they all sign up, because what happens, if they get injured, they go to the hospital, they break a leg, it's $30,000. The hospital doesn't write it up. It raises costs for you
when you pay for it. Yep.
It's how it works.
Yeah, and he was exactly right. They don't own anything, so they can't come get stuff from them.
We've got to get those people to pay into the system, whether we take it out of their check. I mean, even if they're making a minimum wage and it's $15 or $20 a week, that would make a huge difference in the system,
I agree.
But that's how it has to be. They have to be made to pay. It has to come out of their check. I know people on minimum wage, they get insurance for less than $100 a month.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so they could be paying 60, if they mandatorily took 60 bucks a month out of their check, they could have health insurance and our whole system would be cheaper.
Yep. All right. Got to take a break. It's 9:45.
Back now to Paul Jay and Chris.
All right. We are back. KBOI News Time, 9:49. Let's go to line 5 in District 20, District 14.
Yeah.
Senator Marv Hagedorn, Republican on the line. Marv, good morning.
Good morning, guys. I really appreciate you guys talking about this topic this morning. And I've been chairing or co-chairing a task force all summer trying to understand what is driving the cost of our health care and who's getting covered and who's not and why not and all of those things.
Have you come to a conclusion?
Yeah, we have a huge problem.
Yeah, agreed.
I think the conclusion is obvious to everybody is we have too much government involved in directing the delivery of health care and in directing how health insurance providers provide those insurances. And I think at the end of the day, we have to bend the cost curve of the delivery of health care. All of the costs, regardless of where in the system it's added, is all passed through to those of us who are paying insurance premiums. So when a hospital has to provide free health care because the government says they can't turn anybody away, mm-hmm. which is the right thing to do, but when there's so many people taking advantage of those emergency rooms, that business, the hospital business, adds that 12% or 8% of free care that they give away onto a Tylenol, and that $7 Tylenol then goes, at the cost of that, then goes to the insurance company, mm-hmm. who then passes that on to us paying our premiums. And so it all kind of rolls back and starts to the delivery, the cost of delivery of health care.
All right, you talk about government, layers of government adding to the prices, insurance companies adding to the prices. Do you have a percentage of the cost of delivery of health care that's just taken up by paper pushers?
Yeah. It's been said that especially for the providers, about 40% of their costs
wow.
are associated with the administrative costs of doing the paperwork with the insurance companies and other. I had a lady tell me yesterday, actually, we were talking about this. She paid for her own knee surgery. She had to have some meniscus stuff taken care of. And it cost her 40% less because she paid for it out of her pocket. Actually, I think it was more than 40 because I had both of my knees done. And the same procedure, I want to say, cost my insurance company about $30,000. She paid $8,500 out of her pocket to have the exact same procedure done.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. What can we do about it?
Well, we have got to figure out how to change the culture, number one, of people waiting until they're sick, really sick, to go to the emergency room. So people need to start taking care of themselves. People need to routinely go visit their primary care physician before they get sick. People need to, if they're on medications, they need to stay on those meds. The cost of one of the things that was provided us, the cost of getting off some kind of a cardiology med, although it might cost the state $600, almost $700 a year to keep somebody through Medicaid on their medications, if they go off of those medications, it costs us almost $8,000 a year in remediation costs to take care of that person.
And so, the whole darn country needs to get in shape.
Absolutely. Yeah, obesity is a real problem. This is a big apple. I mean, trying to take a big bite of this apple is going to be tough, but we're going to have to start to change our culture in the way we think about health care and in the way that we pay and deliver health care. It's not about insurance as much as it is about health care delivery.
All right, good stuff. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. Senator Marv Hagedorn, District 14.
Joy of Fruitland says, my health insurance is going up almost 25% this next year. I don't get an increase in my wages, nor do I qualify for a subsidy. Your friend Rich has no clue what he's talking about. That was Joy.
Yeah.
40%,
Chris, the markup, according to Senator Hagedorn.
Right. Paul of Spokane says Rich is wrong again. The $20 million on Obamacare include the expansion of Medicaid. If subsidies were removed, the only people impacted would be those receiving subsidies. There are approximately 11.7 million people buying insurance from the ACA. 80% of those received subsidies. 7 million of those were people who had insurance before the ACA.
Yep. Yep.
And let's see. Mike Boise says Trump claimed the primary was rigged until he won. He is now doing the same in the general election, all with no evidence. He claims 1.8 million dead people have voted, not substantiated. There may be 1.8 million deceased on voter rolls,
yep.
But there is no evidence that they voted.
Exactly. All right, except for the exceptions we had earlier in the week when they died after they voted off-site. All right, Bronco game day coverage begins tomorrow at noon. Something to think about with Mike Rogers is next. Brought to you by Boise Church of Christ, where church is family.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
Chaz Henry and for Mike Rogers, you probably know the story of the famous five-star general who got fired after, for a time, leading the early 1950s war in Korea. Or you think you know why President Harry Truman fired General Douglas MacArthur? MacArthur very publicly criticized Truman for not allowing him to launch a bombing campaign in China. His firing, we've been taught, was about reinforcing civilian control of the military. But a new book implies it wasn't just ego that did MacArthur in, but a serious lack of strategic understanding. In The General and the President, historian H.W. Brand writes that in classified comments at the time, the Joint Chiefs of Staff told U.S. senators that the sort of wider war MacArthur wanted would likely scuttle U.S. efforts in Korea by drawing into the conflict the 500,000 Soviet ground forces in the Far East and Chinese air forces who were at the time not fighting in Korea. I'm Chaz Henry, something to think about.